Scuttlebucks. I'm Jeff Kevin alongside Tom Lang, and away we go, fresh off a loss, and should I say another loss, and this is the first of those that I would allude to as disconcerting, a little problematic. We'll get into it in a moment. First, though, a reminder that our friends at Bill Curry Ford, they want your business, and you should give it to them if you're in need of a new Ford truck, because it's the best you're going to get, and the best deals, best product. Go check out the inventory. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Of course, you could just check them out within a mile of the stadium. You're in the area. Swing on by. See our main man, GM Sean Sullivan, who will help you out personally if you want him to. He'll talk to you about the Bucks while he sells you a truck. That's a good thing. Bill Curry Ford is where you want to go. And as always, we thank them for their sponsorship. But again, you may be in line for a new lease, a new truck, and I'd invite you to do business with them. Do business with those that allow us to do business with you. So that's a good thing. All right, Tom. I never like to hear the head coach talk about a lack of focus and energy. That reflects poorly on the head coach, but that's what Bruce Arians brought up. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that. What I think is interesting about this is that you're coming off a bye and you allegedly had, quote unquote, a great week of practice. So I would argue, what gives?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, some of it is, buddy, that they had the ball for upwards of 40 minutes, 11 of which pretty much came on the final drive of the football game, which is really frustrating. So if you're going to beat the Bucs, the best way to beat the Bucs is to keep the Buccaneers' offense off the field. But that doesn't excuse the poor and slow start in which you give Washington short field after short field after short field to set the tone. Plainly speaking, they did not look prepared. It looks like in the second half, or after the catch by Evans for 41 yards, whatever it was, for that touchdown, that we were going to get away with it. But come on, man. What the hell are you doing? If you're going to be a group that's going to command home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs, command a bye, be the thing that we've been talking about for weeks when we said, not the result you wanted at New Orleans, but nobody's panicking here. It was a banged up group. Let's get to the bye. No, not anymore. Now we have to watch this and micromanage it as fans and as analysts, because it's in them to lay a clunker on the board like that. It wasn't just one phase of the ball. They looked flat all around for 60 minutes yesterday.
They did. I think the interesting part, too, is that it is, and others have alluded to it, including Arians himself, it did feel a little bit like the Bears game from a year ago, where you just don't do anything right. You look discombobulated. And, you know, I didn't panic then. I didn't like it. But you felt like you were building towards something. And the reason that this is, meaning that they still had work to do to get right, and eventually it could happen. You were just waiting on it to click. But that's in year one. Now you've seemingly ironed everything out. You know what you are. Granted, you're dealing with a lot of injuries. To have this kind of game almost suggests disinterest. And I will say, this is something that plagues a lot of Super Bowl champions. If you go back and look, there are teams, not named the New England Patriots, by the way, in the Belichick way, who've had this problem in the past where, you know, the regular season is a slog. It can be very, very long and arduous and physical and exhausting. And when you're a team that's the reigning Super Bowl champions and you have a bunch of veteran players, you know their thought maybe isn't on home field advantage, but rather just get us to the playoffs. Well, they're a 6-3 team that likely, when healthy, is going to cruise to the playoffs. Again, they may have cost themselves an opportunity to host throughout, and they may not be as hungry as some other teams, like, say, the Rams or the Cardinals, because they are the reigning champions, of course. But it really is embarrassing to watch a team show a lack of professionalism. And that's what you do when you don't show up and care to play a game in which you're paid handsomely to do. They didn't seem to care all that much, and that is disconcerting.
Yeah, that's where, you know, I'm waiting to see Brady's eruption on the sidelines, right, where he's going to scream everybody down, but he was a part of the problem yesterday. I mean, just look at all the checkdowns. Everything about Washington this season is you can score the football by getting the ball down the field. I mean, we look like the Patriots offense from 2 and 3 years ago for Brady when he was about to call it quits up in Foxborough, which is snap the ball, distribute it underneath. I mean, immediately. Leonard Fournette got a workout yesterday. He didn't catch all the targets either. That's where, you know, I get it if you're in a 3rd and 4 and you're in a got-to-have-it situation, that's where you look. But just because Antonio Brown's out and Rob Gronkowski is out, it doesn't mean that this offense isn't dynamic. To get the football down the field, you can only do so much if you're Washington to stop Godwin and Evans and some of the other weapons in this Buccaneers offense who are going to see single coverage because of the existence of Godwin and Evans. It looked like we didn't even care to throw the football down the field for much of this game. And the yards per attempt bear that out. Your yards per attempt in the passing game were only 6.5 against that group? That's alarming to me. Now, I'm not going to be the guy who says that we're in danger of even making the playoffs. I'm not going to overreact today. But we have to react stronger than we did after the New Orleans game on the road. What gives? Is it the performances on the road in general? We don't travel well. We don't go through whatever processes we need. I don't know what it is, but it's more than just a, all right, get it together, guys. It'll be okay in the long run. Now you have to weigh things in a wacky NFL where you're seeing a lot of results in other places. I'll grant you, we don't want to be in that group of teams who could lose to anybody. We should be setting the pace, not living in that pack.
They went 9-2 on the road last year, Tom. When you consider the postseason, so they were so good on the road a year ago to sit at 2-3 on the road this year seems to suggest something's different, right? That's where you're trying to find something that's different. It seems to suggest something is different.
And one of those wins in New England, you didn't play well. I mean, period. You got away with one, but in the red zone, they were awful. That was a game that came down to the very, very end. And you thought, all right, get it out of Dodge because Brady is obviously in a tough place mentally. This was a one-off in his career. It'll never be the same like it was there, where he's breaking his pregame routines to shake hands and kiss babies and be
right,
what he is,
stuff, yeah.
The iconic figure. The Philly game, you didn't finish strong. It was a roller. It was a rocking chair game, as you like to say, but that got a little dicey towards the end. So, yeah, whatever it is about what they do on the road, think about that. Those are the two wins I'm discussing. It is not a good resume on the road this season, which is all the more reason why you want to host games come January.
I think it's interesting to hear Bruce Arians say that he thought there were players that were overconfident. I don't know that I buy that. Maybe he's got a feel for that. I don't know that these are guys. I mean, it's professional football. If you don't go out and execute, you lose. I mean, that's just the game. That you see it every week. Teams lose to teams they have no business losing to. When Buffalo lost to Jacksonville, obviously that was a weird situation. And I go back and think about that. You know, you alluded to it. There have been weird results this year. Oftentimes, I don't think it has to do with being overconfident. I think if you don't execute and you're facing a hungry team, especially on the road, and you allow them to stick around because you're not executing or because you do something stupid like, I don't know, fumble a ball that's right in your hands 2 seconds after you catch it and turn to run, then you can give a team hope. And the longer a team has hope, because they're pros, because they're elite athletes, because they care, you could be in trouble. And I thought the first quarter kind of set this team up for disaster.
Yep.
In this game. I don't think it was a lack of, I don't know if it was a lack of passion or lack of confidence or being overconfident. I just don't think they executed at all in the first half, first quarter in particular. And you put yourself behind the eight ball. Washington ran into the locker room believing they were going to win.
Maybe it's a function of we're trying to give our veterans rest and we've hit the other goalpost of how much rest you can give those guys because they just they don't look sharp. And yes, one of the turnovers early is a fluke play. There's another one with Godwin that we got away with that they said it stood on the field as an incomplete pass and not a turnover in the red zone. But it's just, you know, the defense was put behind the eight ball from the very beginning of the game. And while there is no excuse whatsoever for a 19-play drive, you're not playing the option. You're not playing Army or Navy. It's ridiculous. An 11-man drive. There's no excuse for that. That group is exhausted because they were on the field for 20 minutes in the first half. So at some point, the defensive line, I thought, stood tall in a sequence of this game, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, but they just completely ran out of gas to where now the running game is wide open for Washington in the late moments when they needed it. Antonio Gibson came to life because, again, you're on defense all day. You're on the field all day, and that's the legacy of what you weren't able to do in the first half. Football is still a team game. When you've got a 53-man roster, there is no help. Vita Vea is on the sidelines for key stretches on that final drive, including, I believe it was the second down when there were goal to go, or maybe it was that final first down they got, but they're in the red zone, and they cut to the sideline. He's there for 30, 40 seconds, two plays, and he doesn't look like he's huffing and puffing that hard, but that's a sign, man, that, again, when you play a team like a Washington 2-6 football team that has a quarterback in Heinicke who is confident about what he did last year in the playoffs, and you are the Bucks, you are the reigning world champions, you need to expect to get players to play over their heads because of who you are, because of the respect they show you. You in turn have to show them respect in order to be able to navigate this schedule to be in a position to host multiple home games.
I think I read the quote, Warren Sapp talking about it years ago, where he said that, hey, look, when we came back as world champions, we got everybody's best shot and we didn't handle it very well. And as champions, all champions have to know that every week is an opportunity for somebody to prove themselves and to put good tape on film or a good play on film against the world champion. So they're going to take it. They're going to take their opportunities. And if you don't match that intensity that you're talking about, yeah, you can get behind the eight ball. I think the big thing here too is, so you have the early turnovers. One of them is a completely fluke play. By the way, can I point out that Arians blamed Tom Brady for both interceptions?
Oh, you blame him for the Darden pit? Okay, yeah, no.
Yeah, I would have said, I mean, you almost want to, in the middle of a press conference, say, well, that's just stupid. You sound like an asshole. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, why would you say that? But anyhow, he said it. But the second turnover is a terrible throw, and Tom just looked like it was weird looking at his face and walking off the field.
He and Mike weren't on the same page.
No, they were not on the same page at all. But I would say this, again, I think, when I went back and looked, it felt like they committed far more penalties than they actually did, Tom. And I was trying to figure out, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel like the Bucs committed more turnovers than they actually did? Ah, well, it was the timing of the penalties. They were all huge. They were drive extenders or drive extinguishers. So the moments where you committed these penalties were big time, that really led to either Washington retaining possession and running more time off the clock, or the Bucks having to punt a couple of times because of poor timing with their penalties. So, I want to reiterate something here. I am not panicking. The Bucks, I think, will be fine. I would say, and this is not why they lost, but they do need to get their players back. I'd like to see the full allotment of what the Bucks have to offer every week for once. It seems like all the time you look up and another guy's either getting hurt or you still don't have, as we know, the services of Antonio Brown and Gronk, which are huge game breakers.
Yeah, well, to me, where we are as ourselves, we're Bucks fans, but we also get to analyze this team and the privilege of doing this on the Joe Bucks Fan Network, which we're happy to do. You talked to me off the air today in Tallahassee. We were talking about parenting in general. And we've all been at the dinner table when there is a parent and a child going at it. And this could be in all walks of life. It could be when they're little. It could be when they're coming home from college and they want to, you know, puff out their chest a little bit and tell dad how life is, or tell mom how life is. And there's that first comment where we go, ooh, that's an eyebrow raiser. All right, nothing's happening yet. Nobody's mad. And then there's talk on another subject. And then again, somebody's testing the parent, and you can hear the tone change in the voice of that parent. They're starting to get irritated, and you realize we're one more away from me having to put my fork down and go into a different room because they're going to stay at the table and have it out. We're in that middle phase, I think, with the Bucks. Last week, or the last time we did it after the loss to New Orleans, and we reacted to that game on a Monday, it was, all right, no problem. Today, it's up to another level going, now, guys, Hang on a minute. I'm not panicking either, but that was a 2-6 football team with Heinicke. You know, it's funny for everybody else to call Heinicke the Buccaneer killer, but there's something to that. And you can't let Daniel Jones next Monday, another team that gives the Bucs trouble for no freaking reason, you can't let Daniel Jones come into Tampa on a Monday night and pull that same kind of crap, because now we've got a fire on our hands. You know how the national media is going to try to create all kinds of there are going to be more press requests. There's going to be more headlines. That creates distractions. Let's just not even get to that point, please. Let's not test mom or dad at the table that extra time.
You know what's weird is that probably after one quarter, yeah, that's a good analogy, by the way. After that quarter ended, the first quarter, you knew you were in for a war the rest of the day. Just like that, because you let Heinicke gain some confidence, just like he did in the playoff game. He began to feel good about himself again. He was in it.
Right.
They had the lead. He didn't have to take chances. They weren't playing from behind. So once again, you're dealing with this nonsense. Yeah, that is aggravating. When you're a vastly superior team, You can't come out and commit stupid penalties early that put you behind the eight ball. You can't turn the football over and get down and let the crowd get into it. Dominant teams go out, assert themselves early, end any illusion from the vastly inferior underdog that they're going to be in it that day. And then things play to script. But if you let them hang around, the script is flipped and you're in trouble. We see it everywhere, all the time. And so, you know, I just like to see the Bucks, who are a dominant team when healthy, a dominant team when focused, come out and be a dominant team. We just have not seen it. Come out and dominate somebody. Get this in the rear view. Go up. Get up by 21, 28 points and put an end to this. Again, it's nothing that can't be fixed. I don't want to continue to deflect every time the Bucks lose and say it's no big deal, because at some point you look up and you're 7-5 and it is a big deal. But right now, you have to hope this game serves as a major wake-up call.
Yeah, the throw when it became real for me again, like, oh, he's going to do this again. Heineke's going to make these plays, was the touchdown in the back left of the end zone. It's decent coverage. He throws the guy open like he's freaking, you know, a young version of Aaron Rodgers or something. You're like, uh-oh. So it's another one of those days. But you should expect that. Again, given who we are, we're not used to it as Buccaneers fans. It's been a long time since we were the team that rolled into town. Tickets were more expensive for the locals because it was a must-see event. You're the team that's the headliner on the marquee. You're the one that can make somebody season, that can give them a contract extension, all that stuff. You got to act like it. And it's yet another game for a specific player that you've been remarking on week after week. Devin White was awful again. He was awful again yesterday, especially the play that I about threw something. And I don't really get that mad anymore because I'm older. We have won a Super Bowl, so I get it. This is about creating a dynasty now. It's not about chasing. You found it. You've done it. Second time in franchise history. But that final touchdown run, go ahead and watch behind the Washington offense. It's the replay they showed on Fox. Devin White is to the side of the field that Antonio Gibson scores on. Lavonte David from the mic position is the one that's closest to making the play. You want to know why? Because Devin White is staring to the wrong side of the field and doing absolutely nothing. He's got to be fixed. I understand he got home for a couple of sacks yesterday, which was nice to see. That's really nice to see because he's whiffed on a lot of those. My man is still not anywhere close to the consistent football player that he was, the beast that he was last year in the postseason. And if he's not going to be, then you've got a bona fide weakness in the second level of your defense that good teams are going to exploit when we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I want to be careful because people will hear this and say, well, wait a minute, Tom, he had 18 tackles and 2 sacks. So the thing to note is I thought he was terrible in coverage for the most part. I think there were efforts throughout this game where, you know, he showed up and played with intensity and he was praised for that. But you're right, it was not as good a game as the numbers suggest. He's not good in coverage right now. You got a big third down play on that smash route, in which he reads it. He's just slow to react, and it's very strange. I don't know what you do there, because that's never going to be a strength of his, Tom.
Right.
But he is a guy that the last 4 games of the regular season last year and then into the playoffs found a way to overcome that weakness and actually turn it into a strength. I don't know what he has to do to get back to something akin to that, but he has to, because he's hurting us in coverage right now.
He's hurting us in a lot of places because, he's freelancing. I think he fell in love with the fact that he found the football in the playoffs last year. Maybe he should have been in position to find the football, maybe not. But that gives you the false bravado that you can freelance and do whatever you want, and you're going to get the same results. Now, I have my own thoughts. Then I look at things like PFF and other outlets that grade stuff in order to say, do I have something wrong? Are they wrong?
Right.
And they could be dead wrong. There are plenty of times that those guys at that website are wrong. But even with 18 tackles and 2 sacks, of the players that played 50 or more snaps in this game, that is to say the starters, the every down players, Devin White was the 4th worst player in terms of PFF grade coming off the field on Sunday. Even with all those numbers, what does that mean? It's clear to see that he's got responsibilities that he's not filling with consistency. Lavonte David is not going to be able to bail you out for much longer. He's getting long in the tooth. It's going to happen, and Devin has to be the captain of that defense. Now, again, this is not critical mass talk, but when you're judging against the curve of trying to be one of the top 3 or 4 seeds in this conference and look like it, that is a glaring weakness that has to be cleaned up. It just does.
Yeah, I think for him right now, Tom, and actually our our talking point here kind of, I think, spells this out. He's too volatile. So what I mean is he either makes a spectacular play or as dumb a play as you can make. So it is feast or famine with him. When he feasts, it's an amazing play. Think about the first run of the game. How fast, or the screen off to the left side there, the first play of the game where he tracks that poor guy down, I think it's Gibson, in the backfield where he flows right, and he is still the fastest in the game to the flats. If you try to go to the flats, you are dead in the water. He's still the fastest linebacker in the league that way. But then two plays later, he overruns it, and he's in the wrong gap. So I think you're exactly right. I think it's two plays later. Maybe it was a series later. But I what I'm remembering is that it is constantly, oh, my God, what a breathtaking play, or what the hell are you doing? So that's kind of the way he plays right now, and you've got to be much more consistent than that. I would tell you that at no point should a guy like Taylor Heinicke complete 6 of 8 passes for 110 air yards and a touchdown on attempts of 10-plus yards. That should never happen, but that's what happened yesterday. He was 6 of 8 for 110 air yards and a touchdown on attempts of 10-plus air yards. That's crazy against this defense.
And that's the thing that we've got to reassess, too, as we look at the schedule. You know, we were looking at big swaths and saying, well, the Buffalo game is about the only real challenge you're going to see between now and the end of the year. You lose to a 2-6 football team with that guy who has not validated the great week he had against us in the playoffs last year. It's all on the table. Every week is now on the table again. And that's not just us. I mean, you've seen crazy results the last 2 or 3 weeks across the entire league where you're going, how is it possible that Team X lost to Team Y? It started again week 10. Maybe we should have known something was in the air. How the hell are the Dolphins going to run away with a game against Baltimore? What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. Every team has one of those performances, at least. Every single team in the NFL this year, so we're not impervious to it, but when you stack a couple of them together, I think the tension in our voice is because these are opportunities that are given away. You could have a real leg up on the competition if you were able to handle your business, and now you're in the throes of needing somebody else to fail in order to put yourself back in the place that we believe you should be in the first place.
I want to reiterate, we did say this at the start of the podcast. I'm not worried. The Bucs are going to make the playoffs, guys. I'm just going to say it. The Bucs are going to make the playoffs. In fact, the Bucs are going to win the division. I think New Orleans is screwed with their injuries. You saw the Falcons yesterday. People were starting to fall in love with the Falcons, and they go into Dallas and get beat like they were a bunch of children. Like they had no chance to compete against Dallas. It was embarrassing. It was boys against men. So I'm not worried about the division. We're going to win the division. We're going to go to the playoffs. The idea is you're trying to put yourself in a position to win a second consecutive Super Bowl. So when we're grading against that steep a curve, that's where you become critical. That's where you get concerned. We're not trying to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. We're trying to win a second Super Bowl in a row because you only get so many chances to win the Super Bowl. This team's good enough to win another Super Bowl. They were ahead of the curve by winning last year. So we're grading against that. And that's why we're a little worried. Now they got to get healthy, and I think they will. I'm not overly concerned. I think they're going to beat the Giants. In fact, I think they're going to beat the Giants handily, Tom. I do. But if they don't, we're having a very different conversation. But yeah. I also have a suspicion. I saw this stat. I read it on Sunday. Tom Brady, that's the worst loss coming off of bye in his career. He's never lost by 10 points or more coming off a bye in his career. Listen, ordinarily, I wouldn't even be certain that a quarterback knows that stat. I guarantee you Tom Brady knows that stat. So he's a red ass, and I think he's going to start to produce like a red ass.
Yeah, we were wondering, you know, is it December when he's going to hit that button and turn into that guy? It might just be that he needs to do so sooner. I tend to agree with you, and we could talk about that on Friday on the Scuttlebucks with a preview of the Giants game on Monday night. If that game was in Jersey, I'd have real worries about it. Here we go again.
Right.
That it's in Tampa, it's kind of the opposite of last year. We laid a lot of eggs at home last year, primetime and at home. Last year, you noted the road record, only 2 losses all year, right, including the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Three this year.
9-2 on the road.
Right. Yeah. You got 3 already this year, but you look really good at home. That's a good atmosphere. They tend to show out, so I expect them to do that. But again, it's just you can't treat them with kid gloves anymore. If you're Bruce, if you're Tom, if you're anybody breaking down the team, it's go time now. You don't have to be the best version of yourselves, but you got to be more than professional. And if you give a more than professional effort, you're plenty good to win the bulk of your games on the schedule. Go handle the division, take the division, and then put yourself in a position to win in the playoffs. It's just that, damn it, man, now there's doubt. You know, if it's wild card weekend, if we're playing in it, no matter who the opponent is, we could be the top seed that's playing. Maybe we're the 2 seed in the NFC and you're playing the last team that's in. That's not assured. It's performances like this that make me feel like nothing is safe. We should win, but nothing is safe.
If you've got your eye on a new Ford truck, perhaps you want a new lease or you want out of your current lease, hey, let's go see our friends at Bill Curry Ford. In fact, go directly to see Bill Curry Ford's general manager, Sean Sullivan. He'll help you personally. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com. Come to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans of Bill Curry Ford. You guys know that. They serve the community they have for years and years and years, decades, in fact. So many Bucks players and coaches are also customers because they trust Bill Curry Ford, including Vita Vea. And thank goodness we avoided major injury there. Ali Marpet and more. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, go see Sean Sullivan. He'll assist you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. We'll be back with you on Friday. We'll take a good look at this upcoming game. But for now, tisk, tisk, Tampa Bay. Get it together. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening to the Scuttlebucks. Be well, everybody. Have a great week.